Now we've been studying through the life of the prophet Elijah. And we recall that the people of God were living in apostasy. They turned from Yahweh, the God of Israel, to Baal, the God of Phoenicia, and Asherah, the goddess of Baal, the goddess wife of Baal. And they were worshiping the idols and not the Lord their God. And now in the text today, you know that after 3 years of drought, and as God is judging, well, did you know God judges sin? If it's news for you, you just have to read the Bible. He did, He does, and He will. Not only that, they had a drought on listening to the Word of God because the only guy who could tell them, thus says the Lord, was hiding for 3 years. But now the Lord told Elijah, get out, go face King Ahab. Well, I believe if it was me, and Elijah had to face the king, his army, plus an army of false prophets, 850 of them, I think I would send an army for this encounter. But the Lord sends one person. One man. Only one. And He accomplishes more with one person who fears Him and trusts His Word in Him than He can do with an army. Always has been like that. John Wesley says, give me 100 men that fear nothing but sin, and I will turn the world upside down. In our outline, we cannot finish this chapter at all today. The first point is the conviction. All the people that Elijah is going to be addressing were people who were undecided. And He's now calling for a decision to be made. He's asking them to search their hearts and come to conviction about the truth. A lot of people out there, as Gilbert said, worshiping the God of their own understanding, they have not come to any conviction regarding the truth. So they say, well, everything is the same. But we have a call to come to a decision here by the prophet, starting in 1 Kings 18, verse 17.
Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and have followed the Baals. 19. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me, on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who ate at Jezebel's table. 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word.
Now you need to picture the place of this encounter. Mount Carmel was on Jezebel's territory. Mount Carmel actually was the place that the Phoenicians believed was the dwelling of Baal. So Elijah has all the decks stacked against him, right? He is right there where Baal's supposed to live. He is on enemy territory. He's one guy. They are a multitude of people. On top of it, Baal's supposed to be able to send fire down. That was one of his credentials in his resume. He had kind of failed as the god of agriculture because for 3 years he could not produce rain, but that's not a matter. So, Elijah told Ahab, gather all your crowd together for this encounter. Well, I think they were expecting the challenge to be around rain. That's what they were missing, right? Rain? That's what the people expect to see, rain. Well, it's not about rain. They're still being judged. You see, and until there is repentance, there will be no change. Remember last week, we mentioned this, that before God changes your circumstances, He wants to change your heart. Before God changes your circumstances, He wants to change your heart. They are called to make a decision. And today I want to challenge you to make a decision with your life too. And the prophet came before the people who have been following these false prophets and told them, make this day a choice. Choose this day whom you're going to follow. Choose this day. How long will you falter? How long will you hesitate between two different paths? You see, the Bible says we cannot serve God and Baal at the same time. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, in the word of Jesus, I would prefer you to be cold than to be lukewarm. You'd better be either hot or cold, but if you look warm, I'll spit you from my mouth. The Lord is saying for all the fence walkers, get off the fence. The Christian life cannot be lived walking on a fence. Either you are or you are not. As Shakespeare said, the question here is to be or not to be. Either you are saved or you're not saved. There's no such thing walking on the fence and be half and half. God says, I'll spit you out. And I challenge you today, don't walk out this door without you making this decision. Who are you going to serve? You cannot say, I'm serving God and myself or serving God and sin. You're just fooling yourself. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. And Elijah told them, if the Lord Yahweh, God of Israel, is God, you follow Him. If you have questions, then follow your gods, your Baals. But don't fool yourself, because He knows your heart and you cannot fool Him. James says in James chapter 1 verse 8, the double-minded man is unstable on all his ways. It says that the double-minded person is unstable, not in some, but in all his and her ways. Why unstable? You should be unstable in your job, unstable in school, unstable in your family life, unstable in everything. If you don't make up your mind about what is the truth and follow it, you're going to spend your life unstable. The picture here is also of a drunkard. And the drunkard wants to go to the door, but ends up on the left, and then on the right, and then on the left, and then on the right. Oh, I have some nice stories for you about drunkards. Years ago, I was still a single guy coming after church late at night, right on the border of Pawtucket and Providence, on North Main where Sears used to be. I think Sears is now closed. And there was this guy half on the street and half on the sidewalk. He couldn't get up. He was dead drunk. His friend of booze was trying to get him up, almost falling on top of him. So I saw that, I stopped, and I helped to pull this guy out of the street into the sidewalk. So I tell the guy, now, Can you tell me where your friend lives? And I'll give him a ride there. And the other guy, also half drunk, says, oh yeah, I know where he lives. So got him in my car. We went back to Pawtucket to get this guy home. So, and the guy that is half drunk is pointing where he lives, and we carry him. And the guy said, this is the door. And we go and open the door, go in. And I just have a bunch of people looking at me amazed. What are you doing here? And all of a sudden I realized, oh God, these people are going to call the cops. I'm going to end up in jail charged with breaking entrance. And on top of it, with two drunks tonight in jail. You see, the drunk does not know even where he lives. He lived two houses down from there. And that's what Elijah is saying. If you don't make a decision whom you're going to follow and serve, it's going to be unstable all the rest of your life. I like the quote from Henry Drummond. Above all things, do not touch Christianity unless you are willing to seek the kingdom of God first. I promise you a miserable existence if you seek it second. You got to make a decision. There will be no rain until they made a decision. Nothing can happen through you until something has happened to you and in you. The anarchy of your own spirit must give place to divine obedience. Mr. Shoemaker Jr. Joshua, at the end of his life, in the book of Joshua, turned to the people and says, I show you the path. I show you the way. You saw who the Lord Yahweh is. Now, choose this day whom you're going to serve, but me and my house and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And he knew that in the family and the individuals there, everyone had to make a personal decision. Joshua could not walk in their shoes and live the godly life for those folks. He showed them the way. Now he says, I have made a decision to serve the Lord with my family. But each one of you has to make a decision. Have you decided to follow Jesus? So, it's a word of conviction. You cannot continue undecided. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. But then there is confrontation. Let's pick up on verse 22.
Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. 23. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. 24. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. 25. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. 26. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. 27. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened.
Look at the sarcasm.
So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention.
Notice the end of verse 29. Now you see confrontation, and Elijah says, I will build an altar and offer a sacrifice. You will build an altar and offer a sacrifice. The true God will respond with fire, saying what sacrifice he accepts. This is a beautiful picture of the cross. Before blessing could come, before rain could come, fire in a sacrifice had to come. The wrath of God had to be satisfied before forgiveness is offered. The Bible calls it the doctrine of propitiation. And when I tell you that you need to be saved, you should be asking me, saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. The apostles preached, be saved from the wrath to come. So here we see that sinners like you and me have been under the wrath of God because of sin. But I want to tell you that of those sacrifices, only one, only upon one came the fire of God in a sign of acceptance. So that his fire would not fall upon the rebels out there. And when you look at the cross, you look at the place where the Lord poured his wrath. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to whom who knew no sin, God made him to be sin in our place, so that in him the righteousness of God could be satisfied. And the reason that there are escape from his wrath and hell today for you and me is because his wrath was poured upon the only perfect sacrifice on that cross, the Lord Jesus. There was several sacrifices there, but we're going to see next week, only upon one came fire and the acceptance of a holy God. There were several people being crucified when Jesus was killed, but only upon one came the acceptance of God. And the book of Hebrews says, by one sacrifice, once and for all, we are saved. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Before rain and blessing comes, fire had to come upon the sacrifice. And if I, as a sinner, say, I don't care about Christ's sacrifice, I don't care about what he did for me on the cross, then one day, that wrath will come upon me. And in the book of Revelation, we read that when the Lord sits in his throne to judge sinners, they will say to the mountains, cover us from the face of that who's sitting upon the throne. Too late. Either you take the place at the foot of the cross where you suffer the wrath of a holy God, or one day you have to stand on your own and that wrath be poured upon you. Have you come to the Lord Jesus by faith? Have you placed your trust in his sacrifice? There is the blessing of forgiveness, of cleansing from sin when you come to the cross of Jesus. Not until then, because there is the only sacrifice that the Father accepted. And you notice that as that people, the prophets and priests of Baal, jump around Baal's altar, crying out to him, there is no sound, there are no answers. And still the same, the idols that people follow, to whom they serve, have no answers. And you notice that says, and they cut their bodies. They were shedding their blood. You see, that's the difference between the religion of man and the cross of Christ. There, our God shed His blood. Men want to get to heaven through their works, through their deeds, through their penances, shedding of their own blood. But there's no heaven on that, my friend. Either it's through the blood of Christ or nothing. Now we see that the impotence of man is revealed. But as the people of God looked at that and saw, look, that God is impotent, they're going to see the God of all power afterwards. But sinners cannot repent until they realize they cannot do anything to get to heaven. They're totally impotent to please God on their own. To declare spiritual bankruptcy is the step to be accepted. Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor. It's not talking about this. It says poor in the spirit. And the word poor literally means they're miserable, bankrupt. They come to God not with their works and deeds, but declare like the sinner in the temple, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy, I have nothing. Jesus says, blessed are those, to them belongs the kingdom of God. My friends, they had a lot of faith. But faith in the wrong God, in the wrong person. It's not how much faith you have that's going to save you. The question is, in whom do you have faith? Because He is the Savior, not your faith. He is the Savior. Oh, I know people who have lots of faith. And all kinds of saints and idols and gods. But none of that can save anybody. It's not about how much faith in a wrong place you have. Is do you have faith in Jesus Christ? He is the Savior. My friends, we read here that the revival among the people of God is about to start. But first is going to hurt. As this brother says, revival comes first to scorch before it heals. These people were undecided. And as long as you are undecided, there is no blessing. There is only dryness of soul. Because revival, as our brother Vance Avner preached, revival is to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Are you in love with the Lord Jesus? Have you come to understand what He did for you? As the Word says, we love Him because He first loved us. And I invite you and I challenge you, don't get out of here without making up your mind who you're going to serve. The Lord says you cannot walk on a fence. You got to get off the fence. And I encourage you to get off to the right side.